Beloved, you are now tuned in to Three Black Men, a podcast by three black men where we talk about theology, culture, and the world around us. The following content may not be suitable if you ain't real enough. Listener discretion is advised, because real recognize real. Here's the hope when we look familiar.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Three Black Men. My name is Robert.
My name is Sam.
I'm Trey.
Hey, we're three black men.
You would be the one to go against the grain. Everybody said my name is, and you had to be the contrary. I'm just playing.
We said the same thing.
Welcome. Hey, we're back. Season three is upon us. Hey.
Yeah, man.
We here.
Hey.
I know y'all missed us. You ain't got to lie.
I know y'all out, did.
Man. This is a safe place.
This is a sacred space. Well, we're not going to pull any punches on today. I wish we had a softer refuge landing. I'm lying. I don't wish we had a softer landing space. We're talking about white supremacy and online conduct on the pod today.
Which is almost seems redundant, because I feel like half the time online is just for like white supremacy now. Like, this is where y'all be hanging out at. The pandemic came and shut down all your little meetings in the clearer spaces where you can light your crosses in public, and now we just online. Like, that is it's redundant. We can just say white supremacy.
They like digital crosses.
Yeah, just out here. My bad. Rob looking like he got a heavy editing job to do. My bad, bro.
Right. I'm here being racist and zeros and ones. What's going on, man?
Bond to be racist. You had to learn the code to be racist. Look at you. This is dedication.
My Lord. Spirit, help.
Spirit, activate.
Yes, well, that is the prayer that I want to pray often when I encounter some in the digital arena. So how white supremacy manifests in the online space. So I guess to frame our conversation today, I will say a few things. This is not sparked by any one incident. It has come about because of a multitude of incidents, ones that we have encountered.
Why do you think that is, Rob?
Because we're black. but ones that we have encountered, and then ones that we have witnessed, and people that we love have encountered. And so I just want to give that caveat. This isn't against one single person, but it's against a multitude of people that have inspired this pod for today. So white supremacy and online conduct. I guess the first thing I'll say is how it manifests. It can manifest in a lot of different ways. For me, I will say that when I'm online, I have noticed that often it can come as an angel of light or or as a devil in people that are ministers of the gospel or any other person. And it can come just as subtle as dominating a conversation that has nothing to do with you. It can come as changing the subject of a conversation. And really what I want to say to start off this conversation is I have seen the rise of white supremacist notions that has looked like bullying of people of color. And for me, I'm black, so I'm just going to say black people, and really terrorizing us online, right? And so we want to call and illuminate that today in the pod. So thoughts, fellas, as we get this ball rolling.
Yeah, I think, oh, go ahead, Sam. Sam, go ahead, bro.
I was just going to say, you know, I'm still a little bit rough around the edges in some ways, in many ways. And as far as like things that I can personally tolerate or, you know, before I kind of like feel like, you know, I need to, you overstep some boundaries and now you need to get back quickly. you know what I'm saying? So I knew that I was not in a place to kind of like really interact with that a whole lot. So I've personally tried to manage how I interact online and follow just so that I can keep away from that. Because I love the Lord. I love people. But like, you don't get to just say stuff and think that I won't respond. Like that's, you know, that's just unreasonable, right? To assume that whether we have a platform or not, we're still a human. Like I'm still a Black man, right? Whether I'm walking down the street or whether I'm in these Twitter streets, I'm still a Black man that you should respect and just not say some stuff, you know what I'm saying? To just because, you know, you can hide behind a screen or whatever. So, and it, to see some of the people that like would say it, like when I've just watching some of y'all's interactions, and it's hard not to get involved in that because I'm like, that's my brother. Like, hold on, you know what I'm saying? Like, I can't stand people met. Like, I don't like when people in my community are interfered with in some way, right? Especially that's a no-no for me. So, you know, I watch from a distance and I'm like, man, you know, I really want to like say something, but y'all handle yourselves very well, of course. But yeah, I just try to find some way to stay sane and just manage how I interact in these social media streets. Yeah.
Yeah, I think for me, especially considering the fact that I'm sort of known for how I interact with people and even people I don't necessarily agree with, right? Like it's sort of, I've written about it now, Clapback Theology. I had a podcast episode about it on New Living Translation and how I believe that there is something almost sacred about a good clapback in the right place. But the thing about me, my ethic, I don't bother nobody. For the most part, I be minding my business. I do my thing. And like, I'm dead serious about loving people, right? And spreading love. Most of the time you see me step out of pocket, it'll be for one of two reasons. I see you, or I perceive you to be bullying somebody else, right? Which I don't like. Or I don't like the way you're talking to me. And it's that second one that bothers me the most, because very rarely do people come out with overtly like racist or white supremacist stuff in my vicinity. A lot of times it's the like, why do you feel comfortable talking to me this way? That I have to check a whole lot, right? Because I don't ever expect anybody to agree with everything I say. I don't. That's ridiculous. Like, I'd be a little disturbed if somebody did, because then you've elevated me to a platform or elevated me to a level that I cannot possibly live up to. But when I recognize you speaking to me in a way that is unbecoming of one person speaking to another person that they perceive as an equal, we're going to examine that, right? And that's what I see. And the funniest thing about it is I'll often call that out in real time. I won't always rush to name it white supremacy, but I do like point out sometimes like, wow, this is really interesting that you feel comfortable talking to me in this way. And then people were like, no, I want you to, are you going to address my point or not? Like, no, honestly, I don't feel obligated to address your points. Like, you're not paying me to be here.
But it's also usually like some bogus point that has no, yeah. Like it's not valid. And you wouldn't challenge one of these other non-black theologians that way.
Yeah. Okay, prime example, right? Like what we were talking about this earlier. Recently, I let off a tweet, and it was an observation that is, as is my habit, crouched in some level of like tongue-in-cheekness. Yeah, what's up?
Can we, before we get to that one, can I give a different example before that?
Yeah,
we
for
have
sure,
example after example of this.
After example, can, after yeah. example, yeah.
I want to say on the example of equals, right? Something I notice that happens with you a lot is, just going to name it, a lot of theologians and pastors will challenge your theological stances, and they feel very comfortable. Why am I beating around the bush on my own podcast? White theologians and pastors, especially men, I've seen this in real time, will get very comfortable with challenging your assertions. And it's not just the challenging, it's the way that they challenge and the quickness with how they challenge, and then the long threads that you know, it's they're writing dissertations and you're
yeah, let's be clear about this, because I don't mind people challenging or disagreeing with me at all. Yes. I don't mind that.
Yeah. Israel,
but watch how you talk. Like let's do that.
All of a sudden I'll see, you know, a 10 text thread, and I'm thinking, off of one point, bro, like that's a lot.
Yo,
like, bro, all of a sudden
one dude got 38 high. I think he even blocked me because I seen the first reply, and it had the one slash at the end, right? So you know it was gonna be
it was more coming.
And I replied to that first one. I was like, please do not threaten me to death. Nobody asked you. Like I said that. I was like, respectfully. And those are my exact words, because legitimately, I didn't ask to be here. I didn't ask for all of this. And I said that. Buddy got so hot, and I lost it laughing. And I was like, why are you so upset? I'm trying to save everybody some time. Like, we don't have to do this. Oh.
Yeah, and what I've
bro,
noticed,
his friends that agree with him, we're gonna read that.
Yeah, and I'm thinking, y'all, this one in why I think this is important, and we will get to your other example, because that is another example of the way that white supremacy manifests. But I want to stay on how expressly Christian theologians, pastors, I want to name how white supremacy manifests there, and I want to stay with it, is when authority is a challenge, and when supposedly Christian authority and biblical authority is challenged, the way that white supremacy ekes out is particularly insidious, because what I've noticed is, how dare you? Is the question that is hanging in the air. How dare you? How dare you challenge quote unquote orthodoxy? And then how dare you not answer me?
Right.
And there's almost this boy in the air.
The implied boy, yes.
Yes, the answer me boy.
Yeah, the badge of whiteness.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? Whiteness is a badge. Yeah, yeah. My skin is a badge, and you need to respond.
Yeah. Yeah, boy. And then
when you feel entitled to my attention, right?
Yeah,
right.
So,
right. Yeah.
So,
yes,
so now
yeah.
you so now boy. So now Trey has become boy, Robert has become boy. And then there's an implied now. So watch how whiteness works.
I think it's important.
So now you have become infantile. And now I'm entitled to an answer for you to answer for the theology that I'm demanding from you. And now, do you see how that whiteness works?
Yeah.
I'm calling it exactly what it is right now, mm-hmm. because that is what I'm calling out right now on the pod.
Yeah.
That, my friends, is demonic. That's not accidental. And I see this often. And we couch all of this under, no, this is just a spirited debate. This is just, we're talking together. I didn't know. I just was, no. And it's couched under,
Why are you being so defensive?
No, it's the meat, it's the rush, it's the anger, it's the text thread to death. It's the vehemence of give me these answers right now. It's the do you know who I am? I'm a PhD at blah blah blah. Give me these answers. No. So go ahead. I want to stick on this Christian part of it a bit.
Right. And I think that's it's important to recognize that if you are a Christian who came to Christianity in these United States of America, or even a mission from the United States of America, right? You have to do a whole lot of work to combat that whiteness. Right. And I'm not even just talking about white people. I'm talking about, like, regardless of your, if that is how you came to, like, you have to, if that is how you came to Christianity, there's a lot of work that you have to put in to overcome that, because without even having realized it, it's embedded in the way that your faith is expressed. Because what you took to be fidelity to the gospel, what you took to be a good, strong Christian defense, what you took to be an expression of your articles of faith is actually the domineering spirit of whiteness that somehow embedded its way into the biblical Christian principles, whatever you want to call it, right? That stuff gets conflated. And now all of a sudden we find ourselves expressing things. We think we're fighting the good fight. We think we're fighting and contending for the gospel, but we're really engaging in a colonial product, in a colonial project or an imperial project of domination. And I see this all the time. I see it with matter of fact, I know young brothers who are not white, who get caught up in some of these circles, and they're on fire for Jesus and the way they're spreading it. I'm like,
bro, call it out, brother.
And what are you talking to, right? And I'll say this, we're not all the way immune to it, because I had that little phase for a second where all of a sudden I thought the Black church tradition where I came from was somehow inferior, because all of a sudden that's what whiteness does. Whiteness does, yep. what it does, it says the you may never get to be white, but if you become the right type of Christian, you'll be close enough. And a lot of times that's not expressed in the changed lives that we live in contending for the kingdom that is yet to come. That's expressed in how we talk about and how we try to spread and how we proselytize for this faith in theory, and making sure that people believe the right things instead of making sure or trying to encourage people to live the right way. And it's a very toxic form of I even struggle to call it faith. It's a toxic form of argumentation and debate that we inherit and slap a cross on it and slap a Eucharist on it and slap a baptism on it. And we think that we're doing the right things, but we've actually been fighting for the wrong team a lot sometimes if you don't make sure that you're doing the work to overcome. Look at the history of Christianity in America and what it's accomplished, right? And all of the things that Christianity has been used to justify. Like, that's not all about the Bible. A lot of that is about enforcing or imparting cultural norms in order to make this thing that we call the United States of America go. So there's a lot of work that you have. Yes. It's a whole lot of work that you have to do, yeah, to overcome that if this is how you came to know Christianity. Siri, mind your business. But there's a lot of work that we have to do to overcome that, is what I'm saying. Am I making sense right now?
Yeah.
Or do you preaching?
Yeah, go ahead, Sam. Go ahead. Yeah. You make it.
Brother, well, like, what am I supposed to add after that? Like, what do you want me to say to that? Like, yes and amen. Get the collection plate. Part of the reason why I had to sort of really guard social media for me is because in many ways I wasn't prepared to have that conversation. Like, I knew that that conversation would get really emotional for me, and intellectually I'd probably get beat up like a tied up goat, because I would be so emotional and upset because, like, of the racism that I'm noticing that you don't see. And that's the most frustrating part to me, is because a lot of times these are well-meaning people, right? These are people that might have Black Lives Matter. They might have some pronouns. Like, I mean, I'm gonna call it like I see it, you know. I'm just saying, like, they might listen to the podcast. I don't know. Nobody's, exempt from this? I mean, like you, where do you see yourself here? Like, this is a mirror right now.
Oof.
Right? Like what you're in front of is a mirror, right? Because I'm gonna tell you something, and Trey hit on it a little bit earlier. Like, we don't get paid to do Twitter. We don't owe you any interactions, right? Like, unless you're on our Patreon, we don't owe you any Twitter interactions, notifications, answers, or whatever, and your whiteness will not demand that from us in any shape, way, or form. I don't care what you got in your bio. I mean that with love, but I mean it nonetheless.
As a matter of fact, I think we should, like, you don't get to put that mess in your bio until somebody tells you you can, right? Like, that needs to be bestowed upon, like we should be able to give out NFTs to put in your bio.
No, and I think that is a good segue to, like, so I've had some of the most frustrating experiences with people who have, you know, so we were just talking about people who are expressly Christian, and we will say more about that. But, you know, at the same time, people who may or may not be Christian who have Black Lives Matter in their bio, right? Because not everybody who has Black Lives Matter in their bio are Christian. I have learned the hard way. You having Black Lives Matter in your bio, you can be the feds. You can be the ops. And that
Black Lives Matter. You stopped the Black Panthers. I could tell you.
You know, the first time I had the most condescending experience with someone with Black Lives Matter in their bio is somebody who took me to the foot of the cross. At the foot of the cross, and it was jarring to me, because as I went to their bio, I thought, am I bugging? We're going back and forth. I'm like, wait, let me click again. This Black Lives Matter. I'm Black. I'm 100% Negro. And they couldn't even see it. You could, you know, in the words of Sam, you couldn't see for looking. I'm Black. And they doubled down on the donkey of the rudeness. And I think Trey was about to tell a story. Somebody was going back and forth with him so hard.
It's always bad when Rob jump in to say something, because typically, like, we try to let we see how we people talk to each of us, right? But we tend to level, like, yo, they grown, they can handle it. When somebody pipe up, I mean, you really tripping, and it's always funny because Rob, like, in theory, like, out of the three of us, at least in the way people perceive it, is the gentlest one, the most gentle, right? That's just the way it's perceived. Right. Yeah, and you shook your head because you know how you are, Rob. But that's the way that it is perceived. It don't
right. Wait, I don't like all those qualifiers. But go ahead and tell your story.
Wait a minute, why?
Yeah, wait. Stop. Go ahead. Tell your story. Trey, before I mute all y'all.
I need to be clear about this, though. I need to be clear about this, because some people are sitting here listening to us, and you have this picture of who we're talking about, and it's somebody who got a Let's Go Brandon flag flying from their house, and they're biblical complementarian, and they got the books on the Council of Biblical Manhood and Womanhood and all that stuff. Like, that's who you picture. But I need to let you know, nah, it's a much bigger tent than that, buddy. Because here's how we know, right? I said some comment, right, talking about, like, how I was expressing my disappointment with the Democratic Party as it currently exists. And I said something to the effect of, like, yo, the Democrats are entirely useless. At least the Republicans have a use, even if that use is, like, stripping everybody of their voting rights and making sure that angry white people have a voice or whatever. Something to that effect. and somebody, and they rarely have faces or names. They're almost always anonymous accounts. That's another way the white supremacy manifests. Y'all are cowards. But some nameless faceless account comes up and accuses me of voter suppression. And we need to elect more Democrats, not less. And you don't even have your facts right. And all this, and I click, of course, on the profile, like, who's going on? Oh, follows me. Okay. I don't recall it. I don't think this is a recent follow, but I don't know. It's just, I'm getting to the point where it's hard to keep track of like who follows me now, right? But like, you've been around long enough to know that this interaction is not going to go like positively with you coming at me like this. But even if I responded gently, right, I was like, okay. Because I also remember that another one that always ticked me off, I expect more from you. Because I get it sometimes, like, I'm disappointed on you, shaming you. Like, first of all, my mother is on Twitter and you are not her. So what you expect of me is none of my business. But anyway. And then I humored this time. I said, okay, two questions. What exactly is it that you expect of me? Number two, have you ever read or heard, listened to Malcolm X's speech entitled The Ballot or the Bullet? Those are my two questions. Of course, we get the multi-tweet thread popping back up. Here's what the Democrats have done. They're blah, 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 money here, blah, blah, blah. And this is with two senators who are basically Republicans. And I'm sitting there like, bro, I asked two very specific questions and neither of them were answered, right? Like, it turned, and one of them eventually did get answered in terms of what do you expect of me? I expect you to be faithful with the facts, whatever. And my second question wasn't even a gotcha. It was trying to ascertain like our common knowledge base, because y'all know, like, interacting with people, even people I disagree with, is kind of my thing. Like, okay, how are we coming at this? Are you familiar with the things I'm familiar with? That one got kind of ignored, but I got the multi-tweet thread thing happening where all of a sudden I had to ask at this point. I was like, yo, let me ask you, by the way, are you white? Let me just ask straight up. I just need to know. Of course I am, but that doesn't make me wrong. I'm like, okay, enough said. Because I wasn't even like asking that to talk about whether or not you was wrong. I'm trying to figure out why you feel so comfortable talking to me about this. When, like, the way that white supremacy manifested in that area was the fact that I said something in my own lane. I didn't pop in nobody's comments. I didn't tag nobody. I didn't do nothing. On my timeline, I said something. You pop up and want to launch your diatribe about subjects. When I try to engage you in discussion on my timeline that you came to, you want to have a whole nother dissertation, something we don't even study in this school. We don't even offer that degree here. And you want to talk, you want to take up all that space. And when I try to ask you questions while you are demanding answers of me in my personal space, you act offended.
You see the colonizing of it all. And this is, I was saying this before we started recording. One of the ways you alluded to it, the ways that white supremacy manifests, and it doesn't matter whether you're Christian, not Christian, right, left. I see white supremacy manifest in the sweetest people, the take cookies home to mama people, to people that you love, people who may love us, support us, whatever, is they can demand all the space. They can come on your timeline. When they're triggered, they will demand all the space. And what I hope from this conversation is, Sam alluded to this earlier, is a look in the mirror and say, where does white supremacy show up? And it's not only in white people, as I think Sam alluded to too. It can come in people of color as well. It can come in white adjacent people too. And that's a conversation for a different time. It can come in, in white people, it can come in this conversation, in what you were just saying, Trey. Here you come swerving out of your lane, swerving all the way out your lane and demanding.
All up in the Kool-Aid, don't want to flavor.
And demanding real estate all the way over here, and then demanding answers, demanding attention, demanding space, and then not thinking it odd, not thinking it strange, and then think about the emotional labor and the emotional toil. And that's
crazy.
Demands something of us. And what I want to put a stake in the ground is saying, I hate that.
Absolutely.
I absolutely hate that. And what's expected of us? Ooh, I want to name this because now I feel hot. Not only do I hate that, is every time it happens, even in a social media way, is we're so expected to be gentle when it happens. Let me tell you something, party people. I don't want to be civil when that happens. And then when you see us clap back, people are like, you're clapping back like, Robert, I thought you were gentle. No, let me tell you something, party people. Civil is overrated. I'm a whole Christian, and I'm a whole Robert the Contemplative will clap back on that redacted. Robert the Contemplative got two times for that redacted. Robert the Contemplative, two times for is from Chicago. When this happens, when we're violated in this way, when you swerve all the way out of your lane, I want to call that violence.
I was going to say any act of racism, no matter how subtle that is, bro, that's an act of violence against us, bro. Like,
say that.
Like in America, like, I mean, not even just America, in the history of the world, the brutality that has been done emotionally and physically to our ancestors' bodies, any act of racism is violent. So you don't get to play victim when you get corrected about your racism, right? Like, come on now. Like, just if, and I think part of the problem, and Rob, you say this all the time, like the bar for allyship is in the bad place. It's in hell, right? The bar is very low for allyship. And for whatever reason, when people feel as though they're allies, people tend to get too comfortable and they feel like, well, I can say this because I mean well, or I'm not like them, right? Like, I don't burn crosses, but I do like to hold on to these creeds and confessions that the folks that did burn the crosses, I do like to hold on to that stuff. We're gonna name this stuff. And yo, just take a look in the mirror. Like, if you cannot receive, not just from us, but who are you reading? Right? Like, Trey brought up a point when he didn't really bring up a point, but he asked if you listened to the speech or read the speech, The Ballad of the Bullet by Malcolm X. And I was going to say, I bet there was some sort of resistance there put up because there's so much dirt that's thrown on Malcolm X's name. They try to discredit a lot of what he said, but in that speech, he spoke a whole lot of truth. And that's something like hearing the voices of them. Like, you have to just, you can't just, you got to hear the voices of the marginalized. You got to hear us.
Talked about a new segment. We're gonna talk about what's on the front burner, some things that we are excited about personally as individuals, and bringing that and sharing that with y'all.
What's up, y'all? This your boy Sam here for another episode of On the Front Burner. And today on the front burner, I got something a little different. So, 2021, the ending of it was interesting, to say the least. And so has been the beginning of 2022. Here we are. But in that transition of entering it, from interestingness to interestingness, I found something sweet. So I was introduced to a really nice brandy. It's Paul Masson, and honestly, I like pineapple flavor. That actually is the one that I tried. that's been really good. I actually just got mango a couple of days and cracked it open tonight. And it's been good to have a nightcap and a book and my journal, you know. So that's what I got on the front burner. Just a little, you know, something for those that like to enjoy maybe an adult beverage from time to time. On the front burner, Three Black Men. Let's go.
Something my husband and I talk about often is we try to do the least nowadays. Like, we're trying to do the absolute least.
Period.
I'm not trying to do the most anymore. What is the least that I have to have in order to faithfully follow God? And I don't mean that in a lazy sense. I mean that as in a, I got this this color art. What was the name of that little box that had all the crayons and it had like a little paint thing in it? You could fold it up and you could take it and carry it with you. Yeah. One of those.
Yeah.
What's the least amount of colors I got to have in my crayon box to follow Jesus? Because all these other colors, you know, I don't really need magenta. Like, magenta's cool.
Yeah, magenta doesn't slap really, like that.
Magenta don't hit like y'all thought it was hitting.
Yeah.
Like, I could do purple. Purple, can I have just like the primary, are the primary colors okay? Or do I need to have a variation of everything? Because it steals your joy. Like, it literally sucks the joy from your soul. Thinking that there's so many things you have to tack on to Jesus, that you have to tack on to God in order to be a believer. And there's just so much more freedom in knowing what is bare minimum. Like, I'm literally, what's the bare minimum? Because that's what I'm trying to do.
It's the absolute bare minimum.
Because we now have a Patreon. I want to encourage each and every one of y'all to visit at patreon.com/threeblackmen. Think through it, pray through it, ask God if he would have you partake in this work that we're doing, because on top of some bonus content here, we have some blog pieces going up. There's going to be some devotional content coming out, and I want to encourage you guys to visit that Patreon, patreon.com/threeblackmen.
Go watch my kids ruin my videos.
Go ahead, watch them. Them babies ain't ruin nothing, man. Matter of fact, there's more people going to sign up to see them babies. How about that, bro?